Welcome to the Deep Dive.
Yeah.
Today, we're digging into something pretty unique. It's a summer update from the superintendent of Wishram School. That's in Washington State.
Right.
And what's really fascinating is how this single source, just this one update, shows two really different things happening at the same time.
Yeah. It's like a microcosm, isn't it?
Exactly. On one side, you've got real tangible progress. They're modernizing the school, putting in new systems. You can almost picture the construction.
Mm-hmm. Concrete improvements.
But then on the other side, there's this looming issue of, well, significant financial challenges, federal funding problems that could really hurt. So it's this grounded, real-world look at education.
And what makes this so valuable, I think, is how Wishram's story, this specific small rural school, can actually shed light on these much bigger trends we're seeing everywhere. You know, funding, community support, all of that.
Yeah.
And the superintendent, they actually start off with something really personal. They mentioned taking just a short break for their grandson's second birthday.
Right.
Yeah. Watching him see the beach for the first time, it sort of grounds the whole thing, doesn't it? It reminds you there are real people, real families behind all these budget lines and construction plans before they jump back into the really critical work.
That personal touch really does set the stage. Okay, so let's unpack the good news first, this modernization project at Wishram. Looking at the list here, what really stands out? What are they actually doing?
Well, it's pretty substantial stuff. They've put the chiller, that's basically the big AC unit for the school, on the north side.
Okay.
And they've craned these big heat exchange and fresh air handlers onto the roof. Think of those as like the lungs for the new HVAC system.
Right, bringing in fresh air, conditioning it.
Exactly. And then you've got crews inside running hot and chilled water lines to new cabinets in the classrooms for the heating and cooling.
So new units in the actual rooms.
Mm-hmm. And ductwork going in all over the building. They even got a huge new propane tank, 2,000 gallons, craned into place on the east side.
Wow. That's major infrastructure.
It is. And they're pulling out all the old inefficient PTAC units, you know, those noisy wall things.
Oh, yeah, I know the one.
And sealing up the holes. Plus, a new walk-in fridge and freezer are coming, like, really soon. Scheduled for July 22nd, and all the gear is already there waiting.
That's a lot of tangible progress. And didn't the superintendent mention sharing photos?
Yeah, they do weekly updates on the Wishram School Facebook page, usually Fridays.
Right, right.
Although they noted they skipped 1 week because of that family time with the grandson. But seeing those photos, seeing the work happen week by week, that must be so important for the community.
Especially when we get to the other side of this update, the funding stuff. Yeah. That transparency builds trust.
Right. Absolutely. And this kind of modernization, it's not just about looking better, it's fundamental.
Yeah.
Better HVAC means better air quality, more comfortable classrooms. It actually helps kids learn better. It's a real investment.
It really shows commitment. But, here's where the tone shifts in the update, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Big time.
The superintendent moves from building upgrades to, well, some pretty serious worries about federal money. What's the specific problem they're flagging?
Okay, so the issue is with the Office of Management and Budget, the OMB. They're apparently withholding some key federal education funds nationwide.
Withholding? Just holding them back.
Seems like it. And the impact on Washington State alone is over $137 million.
Wow.
And the update says small rural schools like Wishram are getting hit especially hard.
How hard? Did they give a number for Wishram?
Yeah, they did. Wishram is projected to lose almost $59,000, which, when you break it down, is like $660 less for every single student.
Oof. That's significant for a small district. Where are those cuts hitting? Which programs?
Okay, so they listed a few specific ones. About $45,000 from Title Y, Part C. That's migrant education.
Vital for kids whose families move for work, right?
Yeah.
Keeps them connected.
Exactly. Then another $11,000 from Title IV. That funds things like 21st century learning centers and student support. Think after-school programs, summer learning.
Okay, essential stuff.
And about $3,000 from Title II, which is for professional development for teachers. So training gets hit, too.
Hmm.
And Title III, that's for English learners, the risk level there is still kind of uncertain, but it's also potentially on the chopping block.
You mentioned the 21st Century Learning Center grant. The superintendent really emphasized that one, didn't they?
Mm.
Accessing it through their ESD, their Educational Service District partner.
Yeah, ESD 112.
And they said it provides essential after-school and summer learning opportunities that just wouldn't happen otherwise in a town like Wishram. So these cuts aren't abstract, are they?
Not at all. I mean, thankfully, the core Title IA funding and idea for special ed, those seem okay for now. But everything else, extended learning, helping teachers get better training, support for bilingual kids, it's all threatened.
So the things that provide extra support, enrichment.
Precisely. The things that help level the playing field or provide crucial support networks for families. And then there's this other layer of worry. Congress is apparently talking about maybe converting these targeted programs into block grants.
Block grants, meaning less specific direction on how the money is spent.
Potentially, yeah. And the update mentions potential cuts could be as high as 70% if that happens.
70%? That's devastating.
It would be. Which is why the superintendent has already submitted a formal impact statement, basically arguing against these cuts, trying to protect the students and families. They even offered to share it with the community.
That's proactive. But it raises a huge question, doesn't it? What can local advocacy actually do when facing these massive federal policy shifts?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it?
So we've got this picture now. Shiny new HVAC systems going in, real physical progress. But at the same time, this shadow hanging over the funding for essential programs. What does this all mean for you, the listener? How does Wishram's story connect more broadly?
Well, I think it perfectly illustrates this tension, right? You see the local community, the school district, investing heavily in making the building better, this very visible commitment.
Right, the modernization.
But then you have these national policy decisions, these funding issues happening far away, that can just pull the rug out from under the very programs that happen inside that building. Especially programs supporting the most vulnerable kids, migrant students, English learners.
Yeah.
It really highlights how intertwined federal policy is with the day-to-day reality in classrooms everywhere, even in small towns. It makes you question, you know, what are our national priorities for education? And how sustainable are these vital community supports, like after-school programs, if the funding can be so precarious it directly impacts kids' opportunities?
It's such a stark contrast. Building up the physical school while potentially tearing down the supports for the students within it, that forward momentum versus this real uncertainty.
Exactly. And that brings us right back to the superintendent's final line in the update.
The children are the key to our success.
Yeah, powerful words. But when you see the challenges Wishram is facing, doing everything right on modernization, clearly dedicated, but still facing these massive potential cuts from outside, it makes you think, doesn't it?
It does.
If the children are the key, but the resources supporting them are being threatened, what does our collective responsibility actually look like? Especially for communities like Wishram that are already fighting so hard, what actions does that sentiment really call for from all of us to make sure those kids truly are the key to success?
That's definitely something to chew on. It really prompts you to think about schools in your own area, maybe look into how federal funding plays out locally. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive.